You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Gerald, I'm bummed we only have 20 minutes, but let's make the most of it. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Like I was saying, I was just catching up on some recent interviews you've had in the last couple of months, most recently with Clayton Morris. And I think just jumping off, since we have 20 minutes, I think we could talk about Bitcoin and crypto on the back half. But something I've actually been paying attention to, which you mentioned on that show, was the aftermath of COVID stimulus, and particularly with commercial real estate markets broadly, and the exposure that banks have. How's that looking as we're halfway through the year right now?
Actually, we have an article in this week's Trends Journal. And then if you go to trendsjournal.com, you'll see them. And Europe's commercial real estate market is still in the doldrums. You got to look at the data. Let's go back. You go to Castle Systems with a K and look at the office occupancy rate in the United States. It's about 49.7%. Everything changed after COVID. Look at the office vacancy rate. Before COVID, 2019, it was around 11.4%. Now it's around 20%. Again, you only have a 49% office occupancy rate. So here's the deal. When they launched the COVID war, and remember, don't forget, COVID's going on. So every time you masturbate, you better sanitize your hands. Remember all the crap they made up?
Yeah.
And when you're outside, stand 6 feet apart because the wind blows exactly in straight lines, inside, outside, 6 feet. And when you go into a restaurant, you better put that mask on. All right, I'm your politician. I'll tell you what to do. But when you sit down and eat, you can take the mask off because COVID knows that you're sitting down and eating and it doesn't go to that level. All right, this is the crap they made up. They scared the hell out of all the morons who swallow political crap. So you can't go to work. Work out of your house. Okay. So now people are working out of their house. Week after week, month after month, year after year. And they're saying to themselves, I've been getting up at 5:30 in the morning and driving an hour and a half on the LIE to go into New York City. I've been on the subway at night in Calcutta. I'm not doing that anymore. Now I'm getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning and having breakfast, and I zoom on to work. Now, I'm the guy that has, let's say, 10 floors in a building. I don't see these people anyway. They're in these cubicles. You stay home. I don't need all this office space. I don't have to spend the money. So now, this is 5 years later. The leases are coming due. You had 5 and 10 year leases. The leases are coming due, and they're not renewing like they used to. You got a number of the banksters try to force people to come back into work 5 days a week because they're losing the dough. Let's go back to 2023. Three banks failed. Signature, First Republic, and Silicon Valley Bank. Three banks. Boom. Down went the equity markets and up went gold prices. That was three banks. You're going to start seeing a lot of defaults on loans. Big time. And the crap that they're spewing out, well, we're going to convert these buildings to condos and apartments, right? No, you're not. Buildings built within the last 50 years, they're not convertible. They're big empty spaces. Let's go back to 2024. Midtown Manhattan, 50th Street. A building that sold for over $300 million. In 2006, went up for auction. They sold it for $8.5 million. They got to knock the thing down and rebuild something they could use. So there's going to be a banks go bust and office building bust. Commercial real estate is, again, the facts are there. And the facts are showing that warehouses, out of last week's Trends Journal, the vacancy rate is rising. When COVID happened, it started warehousing, bringing all those products in. Remember those days?
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a commercial real estate bust. And again, the big thing that's going to go down are these office buildings. And they're going to be defaults on loans one after another. And that's going to bring down much of the banking system.
Yeah, I think I saw a headline this week, two buildings alone in Denver that went for over $100 million, I believe, in 2019, just sold for $3.2 million collectively.
Yeah. And the mainstream media is barely reporting on this.
The question I have is, like, how much exposure do the banks have versus private lenders?
Mostly the banks. It's that you're pushing it into private lenders now, but it's mostly the banks, and it's mostly small and medium-sized banks that have the majority of them.
Yeah, which is great. So more consolidation in the banking sector. Do you think this is part of the reason why Trump's berating Powell to lower rates? He can sort of see the writing on the wall, or is one variable of the writing on the wall berating him to lower rates to create some sort of liquidity injection to stave off the bleeding? Or is it a lost cause at this point?
No, it's not a lost cause. And he'll do everything he can to prop the markets up, because that's he's invested in, you know, and it's his gang and the team, you know, they're all, it's who's running the country, you know, the corporations. So they'll do everything he can. Again, when people think that he doesn't have power over Jerome Powell, the Fed head, they better grow up. We only put the facts in the Trends Journal. Let's go back to 2018. The Dow had its worst December since the Great Depression. What did Trump do? Calls in Powell, January 2019, lowers interest rates. What happened? The Dow went up 22% that year. So he's going to do everything he can to prop it up. Now, going back, the lower interest rates fall, the deeper the dollar falls. The deeper the dollar falls, the higher gold prices go. Gold is dollar-based. So as other currencies go up, it's cheaper to buy gold from other countries. And number two, it's the beginning of the death of the dollar. Much of the world has had enough of the United States' geopolitical and economic hegemony. So this is going to bring down the dollar. And again, the facts are all there. The dollar has had its worst year this year so far since 1973. Now, what happened in 1973? They took us off the gold standard. Oh, and what else? Oh, the Yom Kippur War, where the Arab nations cut off oil coming into the West, and a barrel of Brent crude, the price quadrupled. 1973, we're having the worst year in the dollar since then. So again, the dollar's going to go down when interest rates go down. And we believe that Trump is going to do everything he can to lower interest rates. Again, the markets are propping up. Now they came out with a deal with the 15% tariff with Japan. Then, markets went way back up again. And the S&P, NASDAQ keep breaking new records. You know, so he keeps changing his mind. Hey, we're going to put 145% tariff on China, all right?
Yeah. Well, that's what's like unnerving to me. Somebody who's been following markets, not as long as you, but for my career, is like this berating to lower rates and inject liquidity when markets are at all-time high. And you have not only equities at all-time highs, but you have gold, Bitcoin, right below all-time highs. And is it, when you say the beginning of the death of the dollar, how do you see that playing out mechanically? Do we have an incredible Weimar-like melt-up in all assets, and it's just hold on to anything that's hard?
Well, again, we don't give financial advice. Gold is number one for us. And and that's one of the reasons why it's going. I'm telling you, the world has had enough. Again, you know, we write the facts. You know, there's a this isn't this week's Trends Journal. You go,
This isn't it. Here, is this it? Here we go. On Fox News, the little warmonger clown boy who couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag, Lindsey Graham, warned that President Trump will put 100% tariffs on India, China, and Brazil if they buy oil from Russia, and that Trump would do, you ready? A whooping on your ass. You little fat, little slobby clown jerk, little warmonger freak, Lindsey Graham, that they keep quoting over and over and over and over and over. He goes on, these three countries account for 80% of Russia's crude exports, which is helping to fund the Ukraine war. And if they keep buying cheap Russian oil to allow the war to continue, we're going to tear the hell out of you, and we're going to crush your economy, because what you're doing is blood money. Hey, they got sunk. How about the blood money that the United States has sent into Ukraine to keep flooding the killing fields? And you're going to do something? You can fight your way out of a paper bag, you little clown. So what I'm saying is, you're talking about the death of the dollar. This is among the reasons why. Who the hell is this guy to say with China, India, and Japan, what was the other country? China, India, and Brazil should do. Who the hell are you to tell them what to do? They've had enough.
Yeah, they've had enough, but what's next? Do you see it being a BRICS currency? You see going
possibly,
back to a gold standard?
I think it's going to go back to a gold standard. But then there's the other reality, like it or not, and it's the digital world. I mean, China is CBDC. You don't give cash, you don't give cards, you put your hand out there or whatever, you know, and boom, it's the digital yuan. And China's 1.4 billion people. It's the future. They're going to go digital coins, even though they say with this genius act, or whatever stupid name you called it, they said, we're not going to go CBDC in America. Yes, we are. The whole world is going digital. It's digitized. Again, every time I go out now, it's such a pain in the neck. You go to a bar, people are on their phones. They're not even talking to you. You know, you're walking down the street like this. Young people, totally digitized. And so it's going to be a digital world. They're going to make up something. We got a new digital coin. It's worth this amount of money. And we just got rid of our debt. All right. They'll make up something.
Yeah. No, it's been refreshing. I was living in Texas recently, moved back to the Philadelphia area where I'm from, and spending a lot of time down the Jersey Shore where it's a ton of cash only bars and restaurants. And it feels good to have to come with cash and not have to do tap to pay everywhere. But to that point, like with the Genius Act, so I'm not sure how much you know about this show, but we're a Bitcoin focused show. We've been around for 8 years, and that's something we've been warning about as well. Like, stable coins are a big theme and meme right now. The politicians are saying we need stable coin proliferation. It's going to drive demand for treasury markets. And as you mentioned, I think it's already been proven that these stable coins are hyper centralized. They're going to be able to you're going to be able to whitelist, blacklist, prevent people from spending with certain merchants, whatever it may be. And they're sort of marketing it as the anti-CBDC when it's just CBDC with a different name and different sort of cloak. Whereas I believe, and this show is about Bitcoin, it is truly distributed, centralized. Governments can't control it. So if you're operating in the world of digital currencies, like, Bitcoin is the only thing you should be paying attention to.
Well, we've been bullish on Bitcoin for nearly a decade. And then when Trump got into office, we became very bullish. And, you know, there's one article after another in the Trends Journal about it. We've been going on and on and on. Again, it's not what you like, what you want, what you wish for. It's what is. That we're trend forecasters. We don't take positions on things and say, this is good, this is bad. Say, this is what it is. And here's an article in this week's Trends Journal on the economic update. And it's called the Trump card. The headline on CNBC Monday was, quote, Trump media builds $2 billion Bitcoin hoard as cryptocurrency swells president's net worth. They wrote that Trump's media and technology group said Monday that it amassed some $2 billion in Bitcoin and related assets, and that, quote, President Donald Trump's highly lucrative pivot to cryptocurrency continues to grow his net worth while in office. So I went back and we said about, will he lower interest rates? He's interested in making dough. And again, this is the Trump that back in the day
when he was president, he was anti-Bitcoin. But he got over $100 million. Again, we only go by the facts. He got over $100 million from the crypto people when he was running for office, and tens of millions of dollars when he got his inauguration. He's into it. His family's into it. His political team's into it. So the thing's going to keep going up. And again, you go by what it is. Yeah, we could, some of our past articles. Trump's family claws deep into cryptos, now focuses on Bitcoin mining. Trump's media company announces plans to raise $2.5 billion to buy crypto. That was in June. Again, on and on and on. So it's going to go up. And yeah, this is what he said in 2019. I'm not a fan of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, which are not money and whose value is highly volatile and based on thin air. In 2021, he said, Bitcoin just seems like a scam. So again, you know, it's, we have trend forecasters. It's not what you like, what you want. It's what is. And the what is that this thing is going to keep exploding. And you can see why.
He likes the coin. But speaking of trends, since we only have like five more minutes left, like interesting, not only Bitcoin, equities markets, maybe residential real estate can scream again if you lower interest rates. Inject liquidity. It seems like we're going back to sort of business as usual in terms of the haves versus the have-nots. People with assets, really, the wealth gap really expanding. And so, like, socially, if we turn it back on turbo, inject all this liquidity, send asset prices screaming, and you have the common man on the sidelines looking by, like, are there any social trends you're looking at in terms of what the reaction may be to this moving forward?
It's I call us plantation workers of Slavelandia. And the billionaires run the world. Again, there was once upon a time, there was this guy called Mussolini. The merger of corporate and state powers is called fascism. That's his definition. And they're in full control. And they're going to do everything again they can to build up the equity markets and the economy. And but again, then there's the geopolitical things going on. You know, with the wars going on, the Israel war, and will they bomb Iran again? If they bomb Iran, you're going to see. Here, let's go back to when the United States, when Trump bombed Iran. When did he do it? On a Saturday.
Friday night. Saturday.
Yeah, right? When the equity markets were closed. And then what did he do on Monday? Oh, we got a peace deal. If he did that on a Monday and bombed them, oil prices would have skyrocketed. So we don't know where this thing is going to go. And here's the other thing. We're looking at a dot-com bust. They've overinvested. This is your Trends Journal when it used to be a quarterly. Now it's a weekly. This week's 200 pages, 202 pages, no ads. Dot-com this. This is fall of 1999. Dot-com overload will short-circuit many high expectations for huge profits in internet commerce, entertainment, and a wide array of dot-com services. Following the holiday season, many of today's high-flying internet stocks, the hottest IPOs, and newly emerging IPO wannabes will have become their deep descent from their overvalued heights. And we said that it crashed by the second quarter of 2000. It did in March. They overinvested. The internet revolution just had begun a few years earlier. And they were making up stuff. Same thing with AI. Trends are born, they grow, they mature, reach old age, and die. AI was only born 3 years ago. You don't invest all your money in the few companies that were born a few years ago. Again, you got to make connections between different fields. Let's go back to 2000. Before China got into the World Trade Organization, they officially got in 2 weeks after 9/11, 10% of Chinese 18-year-olds went to college. Today, nearly 70%. What does that have to do with AI? Everything. Young people are totally AI addicted. This is a country, 1.4 billion, considering we have, 340-something million in the United States. China's investing heavily in AI. Look what happened last January with DeepSeek. Nobody ever heard of them before. Now, the Chinese AI companies, sites are the most used in the world. No, we don't need $100 million to do it. We only needed $6 million to do it. No, we don't need these big chips. We can use it with smaller chips. The trend has just been born. They've overinvested in the NASDAQ in the AI sector. We're going to see a dot-com bust. Something like that could bring down the markets and crash everything out. Again, people forget this. Again, we call this, right? The NASDAQ dropped 80%. You know what changed it? 9/11. Yep. Everybody forgot about that. Little Georgie Bush, the guy with a pair of cojones smaller than a mothball, if he has any. We're going to get that guy with Osama bin Laden and get a reward. 90% of the American people swallowed the crap coming out of that little daddy's boy's mouth. A little jerk. A little moron. Longest war in American history. Only cost a couple of $1 trillion. Forget about it.
Started under false pretenses. You know,
another lie. Oh, by the way, Osama bin Laden, created Osama bin Laden?
The CIA, right?
Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer. That everybody looks up to, the scumbag that deregulated the airline industry when the airlines used to be fun. Now only four own them. Oh, yeah. Oh, Brzezinski. Oh, his daughter does the clown show on MSNBC. Oh, that Brzezinski. That slime ball piece of scum. Brzezinski. We got to stop those Russians from going into Afghanistan. The Russians were going into Afghanistan to stop the Taliban from taking over. Afghanistan back then was a very advanced society, culturally, spiritually, very advanced. The artwork was terrific. The Taliban came in. You know who we supported? The Mujahideen, created by Jimmy Carter. That was Osama bin Laden. That was his first job. Brought to you by the United States. And that slime ball, may he rot in hell, arrogant. I'm a national peanut farmer, Carter. Now, this is also the bastard that allowed interstate banking. Back in the day, the banks were only in Bank of America, was in California. Yeah, then he allowed it. It was only intrastate banking. Now you got the banks all, they own, a couple of banks own everything. That's the Mujahideen. That's Osama bin Laden. The Osama bin Laden that we learned to hate. We had to fight them. Yeah. All right?
Yeah.
But people have no idea about this. Hey, did Taylor Swift get laid last night? That they know about that. Some guy gets kissing a girl and jerking off on TV. That was all the big news on CNN. Oh, the Palestinian genocide? No, we won't talk about that. Why, you anti-Semite? All right?
Yeah. No, it's... It is crazy that people are, I think what you're referencing is the Coldplay kiss cam. That's all anybody's been talking about for the last week.
I don't even know who the guy is. What the hell do I care? Oh, Jeff Bezos got married. All in the news, week after week after week. With this chick with these fake boobs, like a platform they can walk across, they're so big. I got to give a shit about this? That's the news. Journalism is dead. Again, that little scum, here. But by the way, when I talk about politicians, this is a T-shirt you could get if you go to Trends Journal.
Gerald, you are a character, sir. Yeah. I'm loving this conversation.
Yeah, this is a T-shirt that I did in 1992 when Bill Clinton ran for office.
Slick Willie.
Yep. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. She only sucked my dirt. Oh, yeah. All right? These are the freaks running the show. You know what this guy's worth now? Google it up. $140 million.
Oh, civil servant. Civil servant.
Oh, yeah. Sick. Took the jobs, NAFTA. I'm in Kingston, New York. There were Gant News for shirt factories. Shirt factories all over here. Oh, we didn't have rust belts. Rust belts. Get the manufacturing out of here. Get cheap labor down there. Give me some money. I'm going to pass this thing, all right? Hey, I can talk to Goldman Sachs, all right? They give me $300,000 an hour. An hour. When I give me bullshit for free. Gave us Glass-Steagall Act.
sent our manufacturing to China. Again, I told you, 1970, 10% of 18-year-olds went to college, now 70%. China didn't have the heavy industry technology, the high-tech technology, until Bill Clinton let them get into the World Trade Organization. And now China is going to be leading the world.
So to end it, because I know you got to go, is there any optimism for the United States?
No.
Individual Americans?
Unless we have a third party. It's a crime syndicate running the show. I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate. I got a picture when I picked up Reagan, put on brunch for him. I've been with presidents, prime ministers, and princes. At one time, I was on the other side. I wouldn't know what I know if I wasn't on the other side. It's a freak show. The freaks are running the show. Don't believe me? How about that guy that used to be the prime minister of the UK, Boris Johnson? The best cartoonist in the world could not come up with a little freakier guy than him. How about that little warmongering little piece of scum from that's running Germany now from BlackRock, Mertz, borrowing $1 trillion to build up the military? Oh, these are the Germans, World War One and World War Two. Yeah, we got to stop the Russians. We only killed 25 million of them in World War II in Operation Barbarossa. Look at a little scumbag over there in Macron, the little Gazzone, with a pecker like that, if he has one at all, and he's old ladies. Look at the little jerk Starmer in the UK. How about drawing an FAU and a C in it too, okay? Look at the little clown show that people look up to, these morons. We need a new system, man. And without it, it's finished.
That's why we focus on Bitcoin here. They separate money and state.
Yep.
Take it out of their hands.
Yep.
Do it in a way that the digital can send it over the internet. I think you need to defund them.
Yep.
It's one of the sayings here is fix the money, fix the world. So, Gerald, I know you got to go. Hopefully we can do this again at some point. This was
love to. Thanks so much. And thank you for what you're doing. And again, we've been bullish on Bitcoin for nearly a decade.